Welcome, Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. September 19th, 2009. Last night, of course, Steve Barish and I were back on the air, and we had fun. We talked a lot about the new book and Tamiflu and all kinds of stuff. So without further ado, let's take Dr. Fred Bell's messages and go right into the lectures. You know, I think he's there somewhere. This is an old nice National Health Federation lecture. Probably had 300 or 400 in the audience on this one.
What we're getting into right now is a branch that the convention is moving into, holistic healing, that you're not just a physical body, but you're a mental, spiritual, and emotional body. And the next speaker worked with the astronauts and NASA. He worked with Wernher von Braun, working on the space medicine program. He has been involved with holistic healing after he moved out of that phase. He's a very brilliant scientist, and he's going to lecture upon some intangible benefits that relate to your health. His name is Fred Bell, and he's going to lecture today about the relationship between pyramids and your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Fred Bell.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here. And while I'm speaking, this is a 90-minute lecture condensed down to about 15 minutes. And I must thank the National Health Federation for allowing me this much time, because there's so many beautiful speakers that have so much to say. So at 6 o'clock, when the next speaker comes on and they do their thing about the membership, please listen to them, because realize that people like myself could not be here today if it wasn't for you and the National Health Federation. So thank you again, Alan, for the National Health Federation, and Betty Lee and everyone else. Now, I'm just putting a couple of systems up, which will be behind me, and some of you will feel the energy from these two systems. These generate a large amount of the negative ion effect, which I'll be talking about momentarily.
Well, I got a beam like that. Okay.
Now, what got me into health and nutrition was feelings. I wanted to understand where my feelings came from. Back in the 60s, when I worked on all these government contracts, I was under a tremendous amount of stress. I spent 3 years working 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 12 hours on, 12 hours off. No breaks, no weekends, no vacations for 36 months. So that's how intense the program was. And during that time, I became a very heavy smoker and drinker of lots and lots of coffee, because that's the only way in those days I could maintain sanity. So coming out of NASA in 1966, I was not the healthiest human being on the planet, and I didn't even want to look at another space program ever again at that time, because my health was so bad. Because when you're working 12 hours on, 12 hours off, you don't see the sun either. So I got into feelings, and I studied with the Eastern teachers for a while to find out what made the inside of me tick. I had already studied at the University of Michigan for a number of years and learned physics. As a matter of fact, when I was 14, I worked on my first government grant on atomic energy. So I understood the understanding of the electronics and the physics and the material Western views, but I had to learn the inner side. And when I learned the inner side, I learned about myself, and that kind of knowledge brought me to the pyramid. And I find that feelings come from three places. Number one, the type of air that you breathe, and I'll give you a brief exercise on that in a few minutes. Air. You breathe positive or negative ions in the air, produce good or bad feelings. The second thing that influences your feelings is the type of relationships that you associate with, because magnetism and electricity manifest through relationships. And the third thing, of course, is the food that you eat, good food, bad food. So that's where your feelings come from on the physical level. Now, air is very important. If you don't believe me, if you'll put your fingers in your nose for 4 or 5 minutes and leave them there, you won't leave the room, right? That's the effects of air. It's immediate. Junk food will take 1, 2, 3, 5 years to affect you. So I chose as my subject to reach the American public air. And I'm currently working with the American Lung Association, getting my statistics from there, and Pearson Whitson at Stanford. Okay? Now, in the aerospace program, we found that the main thing and the main ingredient in air was ions, positive and negative ions. Positive ions plug up the body's ability to exchange oxygen in the blood, and that's very important for all body functions. Without negative ions, you can't reproduce a single cell in your body, so ions are very important. Now, positive ions in laboratory tests, people will become suicidal in 24 hours. That's the flat, down-home facts about positive ions. Negative ions in laboratory tests will cause you to feel euphoric, and people in total negative ion environments will feel very, very good and be very healthy after 24 hours. In all the tests that we did at NASA and other institutions that I work with positive ions, anybody having positive ions more than 24 hours would normally go out on a stretcher. Now, the air that you're breathing now, when I started giving my lectures, we measure air in cubic centimeters. 1,000 cubic centimeters or 1,250 cubic centimeters of air would be the amount of positive ions, and in 1,000 negative ions per 1,250. So the air used to be 50% bad about 3 or 4 years ago when I started getting my lectures. Then about 2 years ago, we found that the air ion content in a cubic centimeter went from 1,250 parts of positive ions to 1,800 parts of positive ions. The negative ions stayed at about 1,000. So the air started to go two-thirds bad. In Tokyo, Japan, it reached 3,500 to 1,000. 3,500 positive ions, 1,000 parts negative ions per cubic centimeter. People started dropping dead on the streets like flies. That's why in Tokyo, where my next lecture series starts in October, begins because they have oxygen masks on the street corners now. And down in Southern California, we're seeing that problem. I've already had some seminars down there where ladies have come and gentlemen have come with weak or hereditary weaknesses where they had to physically breathe oxygen and was part of their lifestyle. Now, this has also happened in this country. What happens is the positive ions in the form of various pollutants forms with fog and during inversion times creates diseases. Now, for example, in London in December of 1952, they had such an incident and 4,000 people died. In New York City in 1966, on a Thanksgiving weekend, they had it, 168 people died. So this is one in Denora, Pennsylvania, in October of 1948, in a population of a town of 14,000 people, 6,000 people fell ill with lung-associated diseases, and two died then. So this is why we got into the study of the air and the lungs. The statistics that I have now is one out of 25 Americans on Social Security have emphysema and associated lung diseases. Emphysema is the lungs' inability to excrete carbon dioxide. So what you're doing is theoretically breathing the exhaust of an automobile or your own exhaust repeatedly, which causes a problem. When I started giving my lectures about 10 years ago, the population of the United States, 4% had asthma. Today it's almost 12%. So this gives you an idea about lung-related diseases. Now, you probably ask, what can you do about this? Well, the pyramids and these negative ion generators are one means or one solution of helping the lungs. Now, the pyramid energy per se does a lot more than produce the negative ion effect. It has many other things that it does to the body. It causes you to assimilate your vitamins much better. It causes you to assimilate minerals much better because it balances the body electrically. And when the body is balanced electrically, it will automatically balance chemically because the electrical reaction takes place in the body electrically before it takes place chemically. That is the missing link by how your thoughts and feelings affect your metabolism on a physical level. Now, a second problem that we have, besides the jet planes and the automobiles and the refineries creating the smog, is the wind. Now, there's four cities in America, or not America, in the world that are world famous for having problems during extreme wind conditions. Because the winds, when blowing across the sand and the inland areas, create positive ions. And during this time, the crime rate goes up as much as 4 to 6 times. A lot of medical doctors are aware of it and they won't operate because bleeding occurs. And people get generally uptight and the traffic accidents occur. Now, the cities are Santa Ana and Los Angeles, California, with the Santa Ana winds. Geneva, Switzerland, with the Fons. Israel, with the Shirav. And Arabia, with the Hamzan. Now, Hamzan translated in Arabic means 150. During the time of the year in Arabia, for example, the soldiers have to wear what they now use as pyramid-shaped helmets, because before that, they were not effective, and therefore they did not perform. So that's why Hamsun was coined. Some places also call them the witch's winds. Now, we became aware of pyramids being worn on the head in 1973 when the Russians appeared on the Manchurian border wearing pyramids on their heads, all the soldiers. This gave us the idea several years ago in the clinics that I was working with to put them on people in this country, and they do work. We've had thousands and thousands of experiences now, and they've all been very favorable. Now, another thing that's happening is microenvironments. How many of you have seen on a Sunday afternoon people go out, a husband and a wife and the kids go out for a ride in the car, and instead of having a good time on a leisure day, they end up with some hassles and fights and turmoil. As soon as they get the car stopped, the doors open, and you get out of the car, you feel good. Well, in Europe, they're aware of this problem. And what's happening is, in the micro environment inside an automobile, when you drive down the road, it's the same thing as having the wind blow on you from the desert, and it creates a positive iron environment. All of the operator and owner manuals in the European nations now, in their automobiles, have positive ion instructions inside the car, each and every car, so they can do it. Mercedes-Benz is coming out with options on the European models as a standard equipment now, negative ion generator. So this gives you some ideas. I'm sure some of you have driven on long drives, like I drive across the country once or twice a year taking pictures, because my next presentation is slide programs showing the air as it's changed. And during this time, it's easy to get drowsy and nod off. This is caused by positive ion poisoning. And this also was a possibility on Flight 401 when that airliner crashed, when they had perfect weather conditions. Everything was perfect in Florida. I'm sure a lot of you heard about the plane crashing. Now, realize this. When we're creating the smog, we have 24,000 miles of surface on this planet. But the atmosphere is only a mile thick, and most of us can't breathe the atmosphere beyond about 4,000, 5,000 feet. Now, we've been creating smog in L.A. and here, in Japan and everywhere, and the wind comes along, it blows it away, but pretty soon you can't blow it away anymore because all the places that it's blowing to are now filled. So you start blowing the smog all the way around the world, and that's what's happening today. And you would be very, very disheartened if you were able to see the pictures that I have been taking for the last 4 years. I go out on the deserts out in New Mexico and take photographs of the air. And now, standing in a New Mexico desert, the visibility is almost 50% on their clearest days what it was in 1974, and this is only 4 years later. So this gives you some ideas. Now, secondly, the effects, other effects on the body besides the ion effect. The pyramids, if you use other metals and different materials in them, will stimulate the endocrine gland system. The endocrine glands, you have seven major sets of endocrine glands. They secrete hormones into the bloodstream, and that's where your feelings come from on the physical level. For example, the adrenal gland puts adrenaline into the bloodstream. Now, people with arthritis would take adrenal cortex and cortex shocks and adrenal extracts to get rid of the arthritis. And oftentimes in Japan, they would wear a copper bracelet. A copper bracelet worn on the wrist will cause the blood to be galvanized with the vibration of copper, which then is taken down to the adrenals, which vibrates the adrenals, causing adrenaline to be released into the bloodstream. The adrenaline would immediately attack the virus in the case of arthritis, and the arthritis condition would be reduced. Now, from an athletic standpoint, if a person doesn't have arthritis and wears a copper bracelet or a pyramid with copper in it, they will get the same effect and greater because the pyramid is much stronger than a bracelet, but they will get energy because adrenaline has in it a hormone called epinephrine. Epinephrine controls the heartbeat. It controls the pulse in the body. And it is good to have large amounts of epinephrine in the bloodstream when you get going because that's where your feeling of energy comes from. Now, there are several ways to stimulate an endocrine gland. Pyramid energy is only one. You can take something like coffee. That's a negative way, but it will do the same thing. It will stimulate it. There are drugs that will stimulate it. There are other foods that will stimulate it. Exercise will stimulate it. Certain musical notes. In the case of the adrenals, the musical chord B, Baker, will stimulate it. And if you look at Steve Halpern's Spectrum Research Group here, those people back there with the music, that music produces effects on the body of energy or relaxation. Certain planetary influences will stimulate the endocrine system. For example, when Mars and Jupiter are transiting near the Earth, they have vibrations on them. And those vibrations are transmitted right to the body. The body is a series of seven different antennas, which are, once again, the endocrines. They receive those vibrations, vibrates those hormones into the bloodstream. That's why your science of astrology does work, because it explains the phenomenon of the different planets reacting on the different endocrine glands at different times. So this gives you a rough idea of how pyramid energy works. We're able to control the vibrations on the body. Now, the easiest way for me to tune into a beautiful group like yourselves is to ask you what you want to know about pyramids. So what I'd like to do for a few minutes now is answer a few questions about pyramid energy, then I can tune in on a broader base. Yeah. No, what happens is... She's asking, if a pyramid is on the head, will it stimulate you more if you have pierced earrings? And the answer is no, because pierced earrings are hurting vital acupuncture points when you puncture your ears. So when you have already aggravated the situation, you don't want to put more energy into the situation. Okay? So the answer would be no on that. Next question. Yes. What produces negative ions naturally? Very good question. Waterfalls and plants. How many of you in here have plants in your homes? So they feel good, don't they? Right? Okay, that's where. Now realize that the trees on this planet, all of the trees in the world, can't deal with the amount of positive ions generated by one jet aircraft flying from L.A. to New York City in the ozone area. Okay, next question. Yeah. Right. The question is a statement. Wheatgrass will affect the negative effects of television. Now, what is happening there is that it's a detoxifier. Also, ginseng is used for the television effect. And pyramid energy is used. I never watch television at home unless I am inside of a 6-foot or 8-foot pyramid. The pyramid will stop the radiation of television. I demonstrated this. Betty Lee was a witness to this in Hawaii with the sun. I put some people inside the pyramid that had a white complexion. They were in California when we were over there. I put some people outside the pyramid. And for 6 hours, we put three people inside the pyramid, three people outside the pyramid. And what happened, Betty Lee, to the people inside the pyramid?
They did not get sunburned at all, and the ones outside got blistered.
Right. So this shows you that the pyramid was able to stop the effects of infrared, which is the burning part of the light spectrum, totally. If it will stop infrared, which is harmful to the body, it will stop X-rays, which is a shorter wavelength on the ultraviolet. Yeah. Yes, I have a total explanation, but it would take me too long. Basically, it's a crystal of the form of the carbon atom. We are all made up of carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen. The formation of three gases, and the carbon atom is always found in sugar, in gasoline, in a ring. Carbon is always your central atom in all form. The carbon atom can be in a molecule shape any size. It can be any size. Here in my hand is a perfect octahedron formed by nature of a carbon atom. This was not cut. This is a quartz crystal that occurred in nature because nature will even deposit these carbon atoms. It can be the size of a pyramid worn on the head. It can be the size of a pyramid in Egypt, or it can be the size of a pyramid inside your bodies. It has the same ability. And what it does is the pyramid acts like a lens and a focusing device. Just as you would take a prism and hold it in the sunlight and take white light and separate that into seven different colors of the rainbow, a pyramid in the presence of magnetism will take those seven vibrations of magnetism and direct them into the seven lower vibrations which the body receives through the endocrine glands. Yeah, over here. No, there is no lightning hazard, and I have designed several structures that are in houses. The only thing about a pyramid structure over a house is you don't want to have plastics, you don't want to have aluminums and things like that inside the structure, because plastic puts out positive ions. In Europe, they're even so fussy over there now about the types of furniture polish, because some produce negative ions, the oil, lemon oil-based types, and these plastic things like pledge, when the wind in your house moves around, produces positive ions. So it's important. Now, the reason aluminum is bad and beryllium is bad and other metals like mercury are bad is because the body cannot chelate the effects of these metals are discharging from the body, like it can copper and other metals. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Pyramid? No. This is the lady is asking, what about the stopping of X-rays? Dr. Tiller down at Stanford Research tried to X-ray the Great Pyramid to find hidden passageways. Dr. Tiller at Stanford will tell you that the X-ray will not penetrate the pyramid, and that's why scientists cannot find the hidden passageways. Yeah. Yeah. It would not be able to. No. It will come out very distorted. Now, another thing you might want to know is body temperature. Now, the Great Pyramid is symbolic. The best body temperature for the human body is 68 degrees. 68 degrees, you require less sleep, less food, less anything. The Great Pyramid inside the King's Chamber, which is 200 feet above the desert, regardless of the outside temperature of the pyramid, is always 68 degrees. So even the Great Pyramid is telling us through philosophy what the pyramid does in relationship to the body. Go ahead. Very good question. How do you explain the pyramid not being the north and the south direction? We use a layer of 24 karat gold. As a matter of fact, the pyramid I have on now has 7 layers. And the orgone layers, the different layers amplifies the energy. But gold is a perfect crystal. It looks just like the one I've got right here. If you use 24 karat gold on a pyramid, theoretically, at tiny different points all over the surface of the pyramid, it's always pointed north. We have done lots of research, and all of our research is conducted with pyramids not pointed to the north. Gold is a pyramid shape, and it has always through history existed and shown and demonstrated a tremendous effect on mankind. People that were high in meditation consciousness would line their temples with gold. People that were greedy would come and hoard the gold. In 1849, everybody in the world knew that gold was 6 feet under the ground, Placerville, California. They had no television, they had no radio, they had no freeways, but they could find it. I doubt if very many of you in here with radio television could even find Sutter's Mill today. Next question. Yes. Night before last, I gave a lecture and a demonstration at the show place down here, which is the New Age show that I did down there simultaneously with this one. During that show, we demonstrated two things. Okay? One, now realize I've been wearing the pyramid for almost 5 years. The other doctor that was with me has been wearing it for 3 years. We have integrated our bodies and manipulated our consciousness to produce extraordinary feats. The first thing we demonstrated, and we'll be demonstrating tomorrow, was mind over matter. We physically were bending objects with our minds and demonstrating this. The second thing that we demonstrated was gravity. We levitated someone with this system right here, 4 or 5 feet off their chair, and we'll be demonstrating that tomorrow. So we do have a basic understanding about gravity. Gravity and magnetism are not related. Gravity exists throughout all space and time. Magnetism and electricity are a phenomenon on the physical plane only. There is no relationship in the law of sciences as we know it. They do work within one another, but they are definitely not a part of one another. Gravity can exist without magnetism or electricity. Yeah. The inventor of the pyramid theory started back with Volta, Nikola Tesla, my great-great-grandfather, Alexander Graham Bell, all of them were into the pyramid. It's a combination of the geniuses of men going back hundreds of years.
Well, I guess that was the end of that one. Let's see how long that was, a 24-minute job. Surprised there isn't anything else on here. Let me check it. That was one of my first lectures. That's an antique. I'll turn it over, but I don't think there's anything on the other side. But that you can tell that was when we only, when Paradyne only had pyramids. We might have had two or three products when that came out. It was very interesting. Kind of cool, actually. But anyway, I don't see anything on the other side. So now we're going to buzz into one of my famous earlier radio shows. And you heard the classic of classics there, which is probably the oldest tape lecture I ever did. Ever recorded, actually. So we're getting a nice radio tape ready here. And it's always fun to do this stuff. I just love it.
About the receptor. Go. By the way, how'd you like your aura pictures?
They were fascinating.
Hanging out with Jim on
for those
old
that were not
show.
With us, Dr. Fred Bell brought in a Curlian camera. And is that what you would call it?
Yes, that's what it was.
And you took a Curlian photograph of my fingertips.
Yeah, we had you take a negative thought and a positive thought and a neutral thought, and we recorded all the changes. You, by the way, you did your change between the negative thought and the positive thought. It's one thing I forgot to mention yesterday. You did very well on your ability to release tension. A lot of people, I'll have them think, you know, and realize we were sort of on the run. We were outside the studio there doing that.
Right.
Normally, if we were in an environment where it's a, you know, like a blue-colored room and some music playing in the background, it's a lot easier to concentrate on a negative feeling and then release that and then go to a positive. Here we're out in the middle of a crowded studio doing it, you know. But you did real well because a lot of people that harbor tension and toxins at the same time, when you have them go from the negative thought to the neutral thought to the positive thought, they might get a change in the intensity of the aura, but the change in the diameter of the finger remains the same. So you had about a 300% change in diameter from the negative thought to the positive thought. And that means that you have real good control of your emotional body. You can respond very well under pressure. Those are some of the things that I didn't really get a chance to get into yesterday.
You know, Dr. Bell, we have got a call on the line, as a matter of fact, right now. Let's do it line four right now. I think we've got Shirley on the line, okay?
Okay.
Okay, this, I believe, is Shirley. Shirley, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I wanted to refer to, well, what you're talking about now. It was yesterday's program.
Right.
My husband and I, you know, used to use this muscle testing on our arms.
Right.
For allergies. And then we found out a much better way was using the pendulum over the hand.
Right.
And, you know, holding food, and then if you're allergic to it, goes counterclockwise.
Right.
So after your program, I thought, since we don't have any of these devices like you do, like you were testing Jim, we have four of your receptors, so I put each one over in my hand and watched the pendulum go clockwise. Now, one was just really went wild. So I was wondering, can I correlate what you were saying with this? In other words, the one that was, it was the ruby. And would that have the same correlation where that would be the one I should wear?
Right, you say the ruby is the one that went clockwise?
No, they all went clockwise.
Yeah.
But I mean, each one had a different rate of motion.
Oh, yeah, the ruby is, I haven't gotten into this part of it yet, but see, the ruby is a high energy one. The ruby and the diamond, see, I didn't have a ruby yesterday to test Jim on, but he tested out real strong on the diamond. A lot of people don't test out strong on the diamond or the ruby because they're not ready for that kind of mental activity. Their physical body is not able to balance the resounding note that the brain sends out, especially the pineal gland. And when the ruby is worn in the receptor, it turns it on to a high energy. So yeah, it would be definitely be one that you could wear and enjoy. But I've never seen anybody yet wear a ruby continuously, or even a diamond continuously, and not eventually have some slight problem sleeping. Because what happens is the adrenals are stimulated too, and when the adrenal levels, the cortisones go up in the body, and adrenaline goes up in the body, levels of it, you know, rising continually. You go to bed at night, and you don't feel like going to sleep. So I would use some caution wearing the ruby before, you know, late in the afternoon. I'd take it off.
Well, I've never been able to use that one very long. I've been working through the other three, but
what would happen when you try to use it? Why do you say you could never use it very long? What would happen?
Well, I got real hyper.
Yeah, that's normal. That's normal.
But I didn't know if I should stick with it or.
Oh yeah, now that you got hyper for two reasons. One, the adrenal levels went up, and two, you were probably releasing toxins. So what, would you go back to some of the soft stone ones?
Well, I was using the Peridot, and then I was using the Emerald and the Sapphire.
Yeah, those, the Emerald and the Peridot are real good detoxifiers.
Uh-huh.
So you probably cleansed your body enough. They work very similar to the pyramid. They clean a lot of the stuff out of the brain that gets accumulated in the brain over a period of time, which eventually leads to senility.
Uh-huh.
So you work through the first stage of that. So that's why the ruby is starting to work for you now. You'll have some real fun with that ruby, believe me.
Well, now, am I right? Was I just picking up the electromagnetic vibrations of the particular stone, or could I actually correlate it the same way you were with Jim?
Well,
that I should really use that one.
What? Do you mean the squeezing thing?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was something like, 186 or something, and I thought maybe the way this ruby, it just really vibrated on my hand more than the others. Would that mean can I correlate it the same way that would be with the one I need?
Yes, you could correlate it the same way.
Uh-huh.
See, a lot of people, the reason that I don't use a pendulum is a lot of people cannot relate to the subtle energies yet.
Uh-huh.
But when you use a mechanical device that has a digital readout on it, it's what people are attuned to. It has numbers on it that change. It has a tension spring on it that changes. And theoretically, by human logic, you should be getting weaker as you squeeze it, because it will take all the amount of pressure you can generate on this thing. Squeezing it, it will absorb all of it and then some. You can't
uh-huh.
even compress it to its full level.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is, when you use a pendulum, people don't understand that. Now, I understand the pendulum. The pendulum is a more refined way of doing it. And even more refined than that is radionics equipment. So if it's working for you, go ahead and use it. You
well,
don't need the pendulum.
It's a lot better than somebody trying to judge your arm, you know. That's just not as...
Well, that's what we tried to get away from, because when in the standard muscle testing that goes on where there's arm pressure,
uh-huh.
what happens is there's always feedback between the person doing the testing and the person being tested.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really don't get what I would call a scientific evaluation of the true performance from something like a receptor or any other radionic device. But now with the new mechanical digital readout devices that we're using that are fully self-contained, you can't say that anymore. It's you and the machine at this point in time.
Uh-huh. Well, I know the pendulum really... I go by how many vitamins I should take, and when I'm taking too much, it tells me, and I think it's a really neat way to do it, because you don't need anybody else to help you.
Right. In Europe, that's standard practice all over Europe. They've been using the pendulum for years. They're just starting to be used over here. I think Christopher Hill is the one that was on Debbie Kennan's show a few weeks ago. He was the one that really got the pendulum going, because he used to use it when he was determining different batches of spirulina, which were good, which ones weren't. He would go down to Mexico, visit different lakes, take the pendulum with him and determine what the toxicity of the different spirulina crops were. But in this country, you know, it's still not legal to do that yet, because that gets into the science of potentizing using
uh-huh.
that same energy. So even though some people do it, you can't make that claim.
Yeah. Now, on crystals, I'm one of those peculiar people that when I... It's not the colored crystals, but the clear, you know, quartz crystals.
Right.
And when I'm around one that's very large and the terminal end is pointed at me, I get so sick. I don't get hyper and feel great. I perspire, my heart races, my stomach gets upset. And I was wondering, is that just, that is a certain vibratory rate
that
I can't handle?
Yeah, you've got lead and cadmium poison in your body. That's what's happening. Are you taking any kind of oral chelation?
Yes, I'm taking Donsbach's oral chelation, and I'm taking your Excalibur at night.
Okay, how long have you been taking the oral chelation?
Well, I was taking two packets for about a year.
Okay, if you didn't get the results in that period of time, then what I'd recommend, have you tried the Power Dome yet?
We have one, yeah. We have four of your pyramids.
Well, how long can you wear the Power Dome?
Not very long.
Do you get a headache?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we'll start working with the Power Dome and start drinking a lot of water and take vitamin C, because that's releasing a lot of toxins. That's the blockage right there. See, what happens is people breathe in a lot of toxins all the time, smog, tobacco smoke, pollens, things that are alien to the body. And if you study the flow of these kinds of toxins into the body, what happens is once it gets into the bloodstream through the lungs, it goes directly to the brain. It doesn't go to the liver first to be cleaned. So the passage of oxygen goes straight to the brain. And what happens is the arterial size of the arteries, when they go up to the brain, they start filtering down. They start getting smaller. So the brain starts to act like a strainer. when the brain acts like a strainer, what happens is these toxins that you're breathing in begin to build up at the back of the cerebellum, which is the base of the brain, that part of it. Then what happens is, as this buildup starts to increase, it moves forward and causes blockages. So when you get something like a ruby receptor on or something that increases your energy, or a crystal, which a crystal will do, the blood cannot flow coherently through the brain any longer because of these blockages. These subtle blockages are now getting to be obnoxious. This is the beginning stages of senility, the beginning stages of the aging process, which then causes unwinding of the DNA. So the result is one of two things. Either you get an immediate liver response meaning that if there's blockages somewhere in the body and they're being stimulated, the liver will send up a pulse giving you a headache, or you'll get a hypothalamic reaction whereby you'll get nausea. And the nausea always comes from the hypothalamus because the hypothalamus is the emotional brain center.
Oh.
See? So you get these two systems in your body. One is the liver. The hypothalamus consists of the pituitary gland, the pineal gland, and the adrenal gland, liver, and kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an electrical circuit that flows between these two, and it's being disturbed. You know, so what you have to do then, the only way that I've been able to do anything, you know, to people that, you know, in this form of detoxification is with the Power Dome, water, and vitamin C, because what would happen is if the chelation agents that they put in your body, like the oral chelations and the intermediate chelations, don't do anything for the brain. They work great for the arteries, but the agents are even too fine to get into the subtle passageways of the brain, because you're talking about small blood vessels in there, capillaries that are only microns across.
Mm-hmm.
And the chelating agents are many microns across, so they don't re-enter that part of the brain. Wheat juice fast and water fast and juice fast, also the particle size is too large. The only thing that can really pass in there is the energy itself that the bioplasmic forces, you know, around the pyramid, you know, generate or exude.
Uh-huh.
So that's what you have to do. So it might take up to a year to get through that, because it took you your entire lifetime to get that way in the first place.
Well, theoretically, then, I should be able to be around a large quartz crystal if all that was detoxified.
Right. When Dr. Lawrence Kennedy and I used to teach kinesiology classes, and we used to teach perhaps psychology classes at Lake Tahoe, we had 900 and some graduates. Every one of those 900 graduates had the same experience on one form or another with the Power Dome when they first started wearing it. Some of them had immediate headaches. Some of them had slight headaches. All of them went, some of them took up to 3 and 4 years to work through the syndrome, but they all at the end experienced clear, uninhibited consciousness where they could really see and remember things. Usually the memory, once you get through that headache syndrome, the memory begins to return. You start remembering how you felt when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens is, when you start remembering how you felt as a child, your feelings of that particular form of your life, that era of your life, returns. And everything relates to feeling more than thought. So when the body starts feeling like it does, it becomes younger. This then in turn causes the DNA to start winding back up and increasing its base pairs per turn.
I didn't know it could start to wind again.
What?
I didn't know it could start to wind up again.
Oh, yeah, they'll wind back up again. This is what Gianni Dotto had done. He had done it with some electromagnetic rings back in Kettering, at Sloan Kettering Institute in Ohio, but then the FDA moved in and told him to dismantle his equipment and take it out of the country because it was against law to do that. He was curing cancer with this way.
Uh-huh.
And you can't do that because you destroy a very large bureaucracy that's established in this country between the medical doctors and the pharmacies.
Right.
Okay, Shirley, I think we better move along.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for calling. And Dr. Fred Bell, we have got another call on line 5. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, please tell me what you said the other day, Dr. Fred Bell, about the eye and the truth, looking into the left eye, I think Jim said.
Oh, the third eye, the traspaso?
Right.
Well, that, you know, we were, in fact, I think, I don't know if Debbie Ken and I were talking about the yesterday on the air or not. I think we were talking about after the air, off the air. The left eye reaches the right brain, you know, and the right brain is the creative activities of the universe. So when you realize, when you want to go directly in contact with the soul of an individual and find out the soul exchange between other individuals, you look directly in one person's left eye. And then once you get past the visual aspect of it, then you start fire breathing or increasing the prana rate in the body, which then takes you into a realm of total union. and that was a form of communication that raises the vibratory rate of the body over a period of time, which then causes what's called the altered state, or you move into a higher consciousness, or it opens the third eye. That's what it basically does.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Did Jim try it? He said that he was going to try it to see how it worked with
him. He's been himself, I believe. Haven't you, Jim?
I have not even tried that yet. I have not had a chance.
Jim's kind of a procrastinator. We got the diamond on him. He'll change.
I'll have to try that over the weekend.
Well, thanks a million.
Okay.
Thank you very much. By the way, let me remind everyone, they are listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show between 11 and 11:30, Monday through Friday on KFOX. This is a call-in talk radio show. If you've got a question or a comment for Dr. Bell this morning, we'd like to hear from you. 772-5718 or 316-KFOX. Dr. Bell, we don't have a recorded message for Excalibur right now. Why don't we talk a little bit about it, though?
Okay, well, a lot of people out there are getting into the use of Excalibur. And Excalibur is a fully synthesized vitamin. That means that synergistically it is put together in such a way that, say, for example, vitamin A, if you take it by itself, as an example, you don't assimilate very much of it. As a matter of fact, typically it will putrefy in the large intestine. Vitamin A, practically everybody in America, studies have shown that they're 45% deficient in vitamin A. When you have adequate amounts of vitamin A, your eyes function in tremendous ways, and your skin is much better, your complexion is much better. To make vitamin A work better in the body, you need vitamin E to work with it. You need to take the two at the same time in the same form, whether it's a water-soluble or an oil-soluble. In the case of Excalibur, we use a water-soluble because it's no one will have an allergy or toxic reaction to it. You take vitamin E with vitamin A, you need a third agent to make it work properly. You need phosphorus there, so we take lecithin. Lecithin is high in phosphorus. Then what happens is the three of them work together. Well, to make vitamin E even work better, you can put octocotrienol in it, which is what the athletes use. It's been proven that an athlete will have 25% more energy and more oxygen carrying capacity taking octocotrienol. To make that work better, use selenium. And selenium then amplifies the reaction. So there's five ingredients working in a synergistic manner. There's 55 different herbs and minerals and amino acids in Excalibur all working in this manner. So it's a very, very powerful formula. And, of course, it's going to be available through the station itself now because we've got so many calls down here we can't handle them all anymore. So we're going to have to let KFOX sell the vitamins now because they just can't handle the business, which is great because everybody is starting to reorder now. They're having a tremendous experience from them, and every one of my callers practically now that calls in, they have enough energy to call in. A lot of people, their energy is so low when they get in here in a high-energy show like we have here between Jim and myself, they don't have enough energy to call in. But you're always welcome to call in. And if you feel that you're a little bashful or your energy is a little low, Excalibur will help.
Now, Dr. Bell, what's the best way for them to get some Excalibur right now? Can they order it still through your number?
They can still order it down here at 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach, California. The zip is 92651, or they can call area code 714-499-2603. And the price of Excalibur, the retail price is $28.50, but KFOX listeners, your first bottle is $20, and then your second bottle thereafter is $14.95. So we do offer a substantial 50% discount once you're on the program.
Okay, that sounds great. And that number one more time.
Okay, 714-499-2603.
Okay, so if you are interested in buying some Excalibur, interested in increasing your energy level, that's the number to call.
Okay, now let me, we've been talking about the receptor for a couple of days now. Let me describe it for those of you out there that really have never seen one of these things. First of all, it's a round disc about the size of a silver dollar, about an inch and a half across. And it has a parabola, like one of these telescope antenna receiving dishes that you see popping up around now for satellite systems. It's like a miniature version of that. And in the center, in the parabolic side, which is the side that's worn away from the body, facing outward, are 144 small little pyramids, each with a notch in the top of it. And the arrangement of the 144 pyramids is called the Fibonacci curve. And what the Fibonacci curve is an arrangement and pattern that nature has said that this is the order of energy in all living things. And to define that further to lay terms, if you take a pine cone and look at the number of petals in the first row of a pine cone, you might find two. In the next row of petals, you might find three. In the third row, you might find five. In the fourth row, you might find eight. Because what's happening is the two and the three is five, and the three and the five is eight. So each successive row is multiplied by the next row. And that way, you define the Fibonacci series. So that is the flow of energy. That's the petals of a rose, the pine cone, the shape of the pineal gland in the body in all animals and humans. It just goes on and on. It's the natural order of things in the universe. By putting pyramids in that order, it amplifies the pyramid or the bioplasmic energy anywhere on the face of the earth to a very high state. It's the same way that nature does, because the reason that nature shapes these flowers like the rose or the pine cone like it does is because at a certain time in its growth curve, especially in the case of a rose, it will send out energy from the petals itself to the bee. And if the bee doesn't come along, because this transmission is taking place and pollinate the rose cannot reproduce. The same thing happens in the pineal gland in the body, because of its particular shape in the body. As it grows to a certain level, the sexual energies are regulated throughout the entire body. Now, if a person, at a certain point when that pineal gland is generating a resonant frequency, gets caught in that frequency, then the pineal gland begins to calcify. So it depends on how you use that energy, whether it will grow into something else or whether it doesn't. They found, for example, in children that had tumors on the pineal gland, that they never would mature sexually. They would have a very late sexual maturation if they had it at all. So this is what the Fibonacci series defines. It's the flow and a pattern of energy. Now, the next thing that happens is energy is then sent out beyond the surface of the parabola that we use in the receptor. It's sent out to a point in the very end of it out there. It's like a little bridge, a little pyramid sitting up on top of this silver dollar. And in that is mounted one of seven different gemstones. And the energy then is filtered through the gemstones, much like a laser would be, or much like back in the old days before the laser, we had what they called Maser amplifiers. And a Maser amplifier would then, you know, take the energies coming from outer space, clean up all of the noise, and just listen to one frequency. That one frequency would then be sent into headphones, and scientists would listen to the stars. Because this is how gemstones can be used. You can actually listen to different energies because they have a filtering effect. And of course, it's the radio telescopes that did this with the Maser amplifiers were 50 and hundreds of feet across. But the receptor is much smaller. It has the power of a 50-foot parabola, but because of its what's called Cassegrain design, we've shortened the focal length by a couple of little things that we learned from telescope technology, so it makes a very small unit very powerful. Now, once the energy goes up to the front of the receptor, hits the gemstone, there's a little tiny hole in the very center of the coin, or right in the center of the receptor. And the energy is then focused through this tiny hole to the back part of the receptor. And on the back part of the receptor is a thing called the Jhanan Mantram. And the Jhanan Mantram, as Jim saw yesterday, filters negative energy. You could actually see holes in the pattern, actual black little holes where there was no light emanating from it, because this is where the microwave radiation was being trapped. So it traps this radiation. Well, the shape of the mantram is like an old yogic symbol. It's got kind of a spiral pattern to it. And the spiral pattern makes the energy go in a clockwise direction north of the equator. South of the equator, we reverse the pattern 180 degrees, and it makes it go in a counterclockwise direction. And the reason that we do that is because if you ever pull the cork out of a bathtub or let the water out of a drain, in north of the equator, it will always go in a clockwise direction. South of the equator, it will go in a counterclockwise direction. That's the way water behaves in this energy. Well, what happens is our bodies are 80 to 90% water in some cases. And what happens there is, in order for this energy to be stimulated through the water in our bodies, it has to come in under the proper polarities. So this polarizing network on the back of the receptor gives us the proper polarity to the body. Now, we use different stones. We use white ones, diamonds. We use rubies. For orange, we use the citrone or the peridot. Yellow, we use the yellow diamond or a garnet. Green, we use the emerald. Blue, we use the aquamarine. And violet, we use the amethyst. And each one of these stones will respond to one of seven different vibratory frequencies in the body, which will cause one of seven different endocrine glands or endocrine systems in the body, and will also cause an energization of one of 12 different nerve endings in the body, main nervous networks. And so the receptor is designed to cause the nerves to balance themselves with the endocrine system, and actually every cell in the body is affected, bringing the vibratory level of the body up. Now what we normally do when people check out, we use muscle testing like we did on Jim yesterday, to determine which stone that person needs. For example, we found that people with thyroid, you know, weaknesses, gaining weight too much, losing weight, these kinds of things, will respond to the emerald. Even the ancients would talk about the relationship to the emerald versus the glandular system in the body, the thyroid, and realize that a thyroid can regulate your body temperature. It regulates the amount of calcium in the body. If you don't have calcium in the body, the heart's going to be starving for energy. It goes on and on and on. So what we like to do is we like to test a person, or let the person determine for themselves. I have a little booklet that we sell for $1. It's called The Facts About the Amazing Nuclear Receptor. We let people read in the book and determine for themselves what stone they need and start out with the weakest organ. Now, naturally, a lot of people would like to start out with the diamond or the ruby, but unfortunately, to stimulate and energize that part of the body prematurely without cleaning the body and balancing the body will only cause problems in the body, like headaches, nausea, and bad experiences. So what you need to do is determine which areas that you want to start with. And I've never seen anybody yet with a totally balanced thyroid, so you could always be safe with what we call the soft stones or the soft colors. These are the greens, the blues, and the violets. When you start getting up into the oranges, reds, and white stones, you're getting up into what are called hotter stones, and they're going to have an increased energy effect on the body, and they should be used in a cautious manner because these are really powerful devices. And that's basically what the receptor is all about. And Jim, of course, will be reporting daily on his. Won't you, Jim?
Yes, I will.
Tomorrow I'll tell you about the couple of spiritual experiences that people have had with them, because that's a whole other level that this thing brings you into.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. That's a topic in itself. And tomorrow we're going to talk about the pineal gland more in depth.
Okay, Dr. Bell, we are just about out of time, so I hope you have a good weekend. It's been a fascinating week.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Okay, yes, it has. And we'll, of course, talk to you Monday morning at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show on 93.5 KFOX, Redondo Beach. And the Torrance
well,
JC presents the
biggest market. That's just how it goes. So, catch you next week. By the way, that first lecture was one of my first, yeah, in the health field. I was a pretty young guy then, probably like about 74 or so. See you next week, Friday night.